That was easy. Shoo. All right. Get my scriptures ready. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, most of you all know we're in the middle of a series. We're actually at the end of the series. We've been talking about the farm. Well, we're going to talk about the farmer, the soldier, the athlete. And today we're going to talk about the farmer. And it's kind of a weird group to put together, a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. And I'm like, why? Well, as we've been digging into the scripture, there are a lot of reasons why. Because Paul says why, God says why. These characteristics or traits that you see in a soldier and an athlete, and we'll find out with a farmer, we're supposed to have. We're supposed to have those things. So praise God. You know, when I thought back on the soldier, if you think about the characteristics of a soldier, you need to have those characteristics because it's tough these days. Anybody have a little tough going on in your life? Yeah, some days it gets a little tough. So how about if we find out these characteristics and we apply them in our life? And then we talked about last week, the athlete, and some of you started laughing because there's not an athletic bone in your body. But there are characteristics and there's traits that you have to have in your life, you should have in your life, so you can walk this life out as a strong believer. Amen, Pastor D. Good. Okay, so today we're going to talk about the farmer. And I don't like farming. I don't like really digging holes in the, I just don't. It's just not me. So when I was reading, though I appreciate all you that do the farming thing and bring in your tomatoes and zucchini, I love that. But when you think about the farming thing, I was like, Lord, you know, what is this? So we're going to go dig through the Word of God and find out what this idea of a farmer is, because we need to know this so we can live big for the Lord. So we're going to go back to our original scripture, 2 Timothy 2:1, and we're going to start there, and then we're going to dig into this. Ready? 2 Timothy 2:1. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to Timothy. Paul started this church, and he handed it over to Timothy, who he had mentored and he'd done life with for a long time. And Timothy's sort of a young pastor, and the church is a mega church about this time. And then they got this crazy Nero, this government going on, and they are just getting persecuted out of the tar. So Paul writes this letter to Timothy to be encouraged. Anybody ever need to be encouraged? Yeah, anybody want to send a letter of encouragement? Send me a letter, okay? Send me a text of encouragement. So he's writing this encouraging letter. Here we go. So, my child, Timothy, draw your strength from the grace that is in Christ Jesus. All right, grace is this empowerment by God, of God, that will help us walk this life. Anybody need to be empowered and have strength to walk this life? I do. I don't know what life you're living, but I do. All right, so verse 2. Take the things you have heard me say in front of many other witnesses and pass them on to faithful people who are also capable of teaching others. Okay, verse 3. Accept your share of suffering like a good soldier. All right, so we need to know how to accept suffering, all right, like a good soldier. And the times that we're living in, we are going to be persecuted for believing in Jesus. So maybe not as severe as we are seeing in some other countries, all right? But how many of you have had people persecute you on the job because you stood up for your faith? Some people I know right now have stood up for their faith, and they might lose their jobs. So we need to know how to suffer like a soldier and do it well. So that's verse 3. Look, jump down to verse 4. Nobody who serves in the military. Anybody serve in the military around here? Hey, I got my gym over here, yeah. So nobody who serves in the military gets tied up or entangled with civilian matters so that they can please the one who recruited him. How many of you want to please the Lord? You should be rolling out of bed. Lord, ta-da, I'm ready to please you today, okay? But let me tell you something. You're not going to please him if you get tangled up with some of the junk that's going on in the world. You get tangled up and you are just saying and doing some things. Is that what God wants us to do? Not at all right? Matter of fact, he does want you to stand up for the Word of God. He does want you to stand up for the kingdom of God. But he wants you to display it like the kingdom people should, all right? So what does the kingdom of God look like? How do you display it? Well, for starters, you're supposed to love the unlovely. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to love the unlovely. No, I can't hear. Okay. And, you know, walking in the kingdom of God says you're going to show kindness to people. All right? Even when the whole world is just being ugly and nasty, we are going to show kindness to people because we are people of faith. We are people that imitate Jesus. All right? Let's jump over to verse 5. Also, in the same way, athletes don't win unless they follow the rules. And last week we said that they are a bunch of Olympians, athletes who had medals that lost their medals because they cheated. They cheated and they lost their medals. Well, guess what, guys? We're believers. We're not supposed to be cheaters. Everybody say, I'm a believer. Not a cheater, all right? You're not as a matter of fact, we are supposed to be honorable people. We're supposed to be people that are full of character. Amen. So that's just a real brief of the last 2 weeks. If you weren't here to be with us, you can go online and listen to it. Praise God. But we're moving on. Verse 6, listen to this. A hardworking farmer should get the first share of the crop. So we're going to talk about the farmer today, all right? And the last part says, think about what I am saying. The Lord will give you understanding about everything. So let's pray. Father God, Paul said you're going to give us understanding. So we are asking for understanding about this idea of the farmer because it's something that we need to have understanding so we can apply to our life. So we just thank you for opening our eyes to this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so when you think about this idea of a farmer, what characteristics or traits kind of pop into your head? Farmer tan doesn't count. All right, so what characteristics? So I'm going to give you two, and it's actually the main idea that's just going to carry through the whole message today, but you can write this down. The farmer works hard, and he waits patiently. The farmer works hard, and he waits patiently. So right now, we're kind of going into spring. It didn't feel like it today. Last weekend it did, but we're going into spring, amen? And you know, the farmers are gearing up for this, all right? They're not sitting home playing Nintendo. They are gearing up. They're getting their machinery ready. And as a matter of fact, I was driving the back roads of Dover. I'd never been on, and I looked at this property, and this guy had his rotor tiller out already, and he had just plowed up his ground. I thought, boy, you are ready, all right? So farmers work hard. They're just not sitting around. They work hard. And now, once the seed grows into the ground, they're going to have patience to watch it, but for first and foremost, they are working hard. So they are really working hard. Now, what does this mean to me? Because I am not a farmer. No. I have one bush in the ground, and I'm thinking that's good. All right. So, but what does this mean? How do we apply this to our life? All right. Well, you know, sometimes we don't think about this. Working hard and having patience. Working hard and having patience. And I don't know, don't raise your hand if you're those A personalities. You're like, I want it done now. I want it done yesterday, all right? And maybe your spouse is like that and they are just annoying, all right? So this is it. The farmer works hard and he has patience. He has patience, all right? So if you're taking notes, jot this down. The farmer promotes or improves the growth of the crop by labor and attention. The farmer promotes or improves the growth of the crop by labor and attention, all right? So sometimes this is just mind-boggling to me. Some Christians forget that we're in God's kingdom. He has taken me out of the kingdom of darkness. He's placed you and me into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of his son. And I'm not supposed to live this way like I did before. I am living in this new kingdom, okay? And this kingdom needs me to labor, aka work. Everybody say work. Yeah, this kingdom that we live in, this life that we live now, we're supposed to work and it needs some attention. We have to work and it needs an attention. Okay, give me an example. I have to give some attention to put this word into my life daily. Everybody say daily. All right. So when they put the scriptures on the screen, which I am so thankful for y'all that do that, and those of you that don't have a Bible or your app, you're probably really thankful, but that's not going to cut it, right? Just reading the word on Sunday morning on the screen and saying, I'm done, it's not going to work, right? So I have to give attention to this word every day. Amen. Okay, I have to pray. You have to pray. Oh, I thought the pastors do all the praying. Show me the scripture, Bubba. I don't think so, okay? We have to pray. God wants all of us to pray. Matter of fact, in James 4:8, it says, come near to God and he'll come near to you. So what do I do first? Come near to God and he'll come near to me, all right? Now, he promises he'll come near to me, but what's the first thing? I have to come, the translation I memorized as a kid is draw near to God, okay, and he'll draw near to me. So I have to give some attention. I have a part to play, all right? So I have to read his word and I have to pray. And you can't rely on Pastor Sherry to do it for you. All right? She's going to say, do your own praying. All righty? So, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let's read verse 6 again. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. This is where we're going today. Ready? A hardworking farmer, all right, should get the first share of the crops. Okay, it's kind of a no-brainer to me. I mean, the farmer did all the work. Right? He should get the first share. So we could say he should get the reward, right? He did all the work, all the labor. He planted all this. He harvested. He should get the reward. So if you're taking notes, jot this one down. Ready? The reward comes from hard work, but it's after the hard work. The reward comes from hard work, but it's after the hard work, okay? We are living in a culture that they don't understand the mentality of working hard, all right? I really don't think. Now, my parents came out of the World War II, and that whole generation of people on that came out of that time frame, that generation, they were known for being hard workers, right? They were known for being hard workers, all right? And you know that's really interesting? So many of them were hard workers that they stayed on a job their entire life. They weren't hopping. How many have parents that were like that? They worked one job their whole life and they worked hard. They were there early and they were late. Some of you are like that, and I am so thankful, all right? But this is the second part. The reward comes after the hard work, not before. The reward comes after the hard work and not before. Pastor D, I'm going to get a job. And I applied over here, and I want to be rewarded now. So they've got this thing. The first time I heard this, I was like, because I grew up out of this generation of hard workers, sign-on bonuses. You want to work for my company? I'm going to give you a sign-on bonus before you walk in the door, before you did anything. I'm not even sure you're going to finish the week, but you want a sign-on bonuses, and companies are doing that. I mean, go take it. But my head goes, really? Okay, so we got this mentality, and I don't think we understand hard work. You want a reward before you do anything, all right? But listen. We are in God's kingdom, and in God's kingdom, we work hard, and yes, he will reward us as we're doing what he says to do. And sometimes you may not see it while you're here. You might see your rewards in heaven, right? All right? You're not going to see them immediately. So we're talking about a farmer. So what is their mentality like? How does their brain operate? Well, I wrote this down. Ready? I'm not going to necessarily see the results of certain things on the day I did it. That's farmers. Come on. They throw seed in the ground. They know I'm not going to see the results the day I threw the seed in the ground. That's their mentality, all right? So, I'm going to read my Bible. All right, I am not necessarily, and you are not necessarily, going to see the results of me reading my word every day. But I know, because I read this, that I'm going to read this every day. And I will you know, it'll happen, all right? And, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm reading my Bible every day. But I might not immediately see the results. So are you going to get frustrated about it? Are you going to quit because you didn't see it like this? And I said this last week, but in 2020, I read this statistics. It was just like, wow. They said there was the largest exodus from, I quit, from God, church, their Christian faith. The largest exodus happened in 2020. Yeah. Okay. And listen, I got news. When things start coming at you in 2020, we were scrambling to figure out things, right? It was just a whole new thing. But things start coming against you. How about you double down with this, right? Double down with the Word of God. So this Word, the Bible says, is God actually speaking to you. Someone says, Pastor D, I haven't heard God. Open your Bible. Amen. Read your Bible, okay? And the Bible, in Hebrews it says, the Word of God is alive and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing. You should please pierce this. I need help with this. Okay? So this Bible is so, if you will allow it daily just to get inside you, I promise it'll change your life. It will change your life. How many of you, you are different, thank God, right? I should say, thank God. You're different because of this Word of God. Amen. Okay, they're going to put on, you can follow along, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. This actually came from a song in the 70s. Raise your hand if you kind of know this later, okay? Ecclesiastes 3:1, ready? For everything there is a season, turn, by the birds. All right. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to harvest. Or we could say harvesting what was planted. All righty. So if you're taking notes, I got a lot of little one-liners. You should, by the time you roll out of here tomorrow morning, you should have all these post-it notes of all these one-liners. Here we go. Ready? Farmers always work hard within their season. Farmers always work hard within their season, okay? So we're fine. It doesn't feel like it today, but we are coming out of winter. Amen. We're coming out of winter, okay? And, the farmer really didn't do a lot of work in the winter unless they had a place, but we're coming out of winter, and they've been working on their machinery, all right? And they've not really been farming during the wintertime. You didn't really see them farming, all right? Because they know how to work in the season. Work in the right season. Alrighty? So, you should ask yourself, well then, okay, so we're supposed to be like this farmer. So what season are we in? Better yet, what season is going on this planet right now? All right? And Jesus said, hey, Jesus just loved to poke. He'd poke the religious guys. All right, and he did it with a smile. No, I don't know. He said to these religious guys, hey, y'all, poke. You know how, the signs, you know if it's cloudy, you know if the sky is red, it's going to do this and that. You know the signs of the seasons by that. So here, listen, guys, what season are we living in? Well, I'll tell you what, this is the season. Amen, but this is a season not to play church. This is a season not to play act being a Christian. This is a season, it's getting kind of bananas out there, right? This is a season not to forget your relationship with the Lord. This is the season that, you know, you don't go along with everything the world says just because the world says you should do it and everybody's doing it, okay? This is the season that you need to walk and rely on the Lord, all right? And if you're in it because, well, I'm in it so I could go to heaven and not die and go to hell. That's why I'm doing it. Listen, God is looking at it different. God looks at the season different. Listen, farmers know the season. Y'all should know the season. And listen, I am not the queen of understanding everything about end times. But this thing with Russia, we are in a season, y'all. And I think it's a season to double down in the Word of God, double down in serving in the kingdom of God, because we are in a season, all right? And it's not a time to play. Amen. Okay, Pastor D, smile. All righty. So, farmers, we know they work hard. And the second part, farmers wait patiently. Farmers practice patience, all right? So, the farmer, all right, first they're going to put the seed in the ground. And then they're going to go out and water the ground. And then they might even have to weed the ground. And then they get to harvest. All of that says they have patience. They have patience, okay? So I want to give you three traits, characteristics that you would say about farmers. Really what we should do, because God is comparing us to a farmer. Okay, so God says, you're a farmer in the kingdom of God, and here's three traits that we need to have in our life. They need to be moving in our life all the time. Here's your first one. If you're taking notes, write it down. We plan for harvest. You all, me, need to plan for harvest, all right? So turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, verse 7, make no mistake, God is not mocked. A person will harvest what they plant. One translation, listen to this, you will harvest what you plant and only what you plant. So guess what you need to be doing? Planting, if you want to have a what? A harvest, okay? So some people, when they read the scripture, and that's all, they just associate it with money. And I like money. We always say, if you don't know what to do with your money, write YCF. We know what to do with your money. But this scripture is even bigger than that. This scripture is bigger than that. You know this. If you plant love in people, guess what you're going to get back? Love. Right? If you plant offense all over the place, guess what you all going to get back? Offense. How about, if you plant kindness, what's going to happen? You're going to get kindness back. Though, small print, little aster at the bottom of the page, there are some people that you may plant kindness, and they just aren't going to do it back, all right? But listen to this. It doesn't mean you don't do the right thing. Show kindness, even if they're doing the wrong thing, all right? So jot this one down. You will harvest what you plant, and you will plant what you plan. I got to say that one again. You will harvest what you plant, and you will plant what you plan. All right. How many of you have friends or you know somebody, and they, don't poke them, they fly by the seat of their pants? You have any friends like that? I mean, they, no plan. No plan, all right? They have no plan. They have no plan. They always have no plan. They just have no plan. Matter of fact, they might be going on vacation next week, and they haven't even gotten around to getting their airplane ticket. And probably the day before they're ready to go, they're like, okay, oh, let's go get a hotel. They have no plan. Those people drive me bombas, I'll tell you what, all right? So, but they have no plan, no plan. There's people, they just fly by the seat of their pants, no plan. And it's interesting. You look at the kingdom of God, God's a planner. The plan of salvation, God wasn't like, oh, I don't have a plan. He knew. He had a plan. Read the first couple of pages of Genesis. He had a plan. Day one, we're going to do this. Day two, we're going to do this. Day three, we're going to do this. God had a plan. So guess what? It is not wrong to have a plan. Everybody say, have a plan. Well, I don't want to be in bondage, Pastor D, with this plan stuff. I can just hear someone saying that. Well, guess what? You ain't going to do much. Yesterday, I'm a planner. Yesterday, I started making notes. of what I'm going to do today. I had a plan. And Monday's my day off. Bananas what I put on Monday. Okay? I have plans. All right? I have plans. So, praise God. You want to know my best plan? Every day, I have a plan. I'm going to get up, make coffee, grab my Bible, and read my Bible. That is my plan. Do you think you can do that one? Yeah. All right? And then every day, I'm going to get up, read my Bible, and pray. Just hang out with the Lord, talk to Him, and stop talking sometimes so I can listen to Him, all right? Okay? That's my plan. You think you can do that plan? I think so. Now, here's my another one. Do you think God wants you to have a plan for your spiritual growth? I think He does, okay? And we think so because that's why we have grow groups. That is a plan to grow spiritually. And you just meet people that you're just going to become friends with and all sorts of things, okay? So that's a plan. How about a plan? You know, this will grow you spiritually. Get planted in a church. You'll grow spiritually. And I'll tell you why more, okay? How about serve? How about go serve a Miss Gerald's or Harvest a Blessing, man. That's a plan. And you will grow spiritually. Amen. All right. But don't be a person that doesn't have a plan. All right? Don't do that. Please. Please. Okay. So God wants us to have a plan. We're reading in Galatians 6. Let's read verse 8. Those who plant only for their own benefit will harvest devastation, woo, from their selfishness. Shame, shame. But those who plant from the benefit of the Spirit will harvest eternal life from the Spirit. All right. So you know what? Don't do anything for God just by accident. Oh, it was just by accident I did this for the Lord. Nope, be decisive and have a plan. Be a plan. Have a plan. And this is really first good plan, all right? So let's just suppose God's just been dealing with you. God's been speaking to you. You just know that God's talking to you about you start this business. Like you need to start your own business. It is time to start your business. Or God's just been speaking to you to go back to school. Thank you, not. Okay, go back to school, all right? Jeez, I love. Okay, how about this one? God's been speaking to you about starting a grow group. Wow, that was a novel idea, Pastor D. How about God's been speaking to you? Those neighbors that you've been talking to, you're like, God's been talking to you. Just invite them over for dinner, all right? Okay, so you're saying, oh, God, I know a plan. That's a plan, God. Yeah, that's a good plan. I'm going to pray about that plan. But listen, guys, nothing's going to happen until you start doing the plan. Okay? So, yeah, you have a plan, but you have to start doing the plan, all right? It's not like, oh, you know, God, someday that's going to be really good. God, I really just feel that is a good plan. Guys, you got to just start doing it. Okay, so write this one down. Here we go. Ready? Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow a thought, reap an action, okay? And you know, sometimes we can say, man, I just don't think things are happening fast enough. Well, just keep sowing the thought, okay? And you will reap. You will reap the right action, okay? Here's another one. Add this one to it. Sow an action and you'll reap a habit. So first you have the plan, the thought, and then you have the action. And if you sow the action, you'll have a habit. So I have this good friend. She's a runner. Run. She's a runner. Not running around crazy. I mean, she's one of these. Okay? Matter of fact, she ran in the Boston Marathon when she was 50. And you have to qualify. By the way, I just can't show up. It's a Boston Marathon. You have to qualify. She qualified and finished this at age 50, and she did pretty good, all right? So she runs every day, rain, snow, sleet. If not, she's on the treadmill, and she's working out. So we had this conversation. I decided I wasn't going to be a runner, but listen to what she said. She said, every morning I have the exact same feeling. I don't want to do it. I was like, and I've known her for a long time, 30 years. And she said, every morning, Even though she has the habit, every morning she deals with this thought, I quit, I don't want to do it. And you know what she does? She talks to her brain. She says, brain, body, get out. We'll just start slow and then we'll get going. Isn't that interesting? All right? So sow an action and you'll reap a habit. Sow an action and you'll reap a habit. And here's the next one. Sow a habit and you'll have character. Character, all right? So in this kingdom, God, listen, I have to keep sowing the right kind of habit. the right kind of habits, okay? Right kind of habit that I have to keep sowing. I have to keep reading my Bible. You don't want to hang around me if I have not read my Bible for a week. Just not nice, right? So how about I continue the habit of reading my Bible every day, of praying every day, hanging out with the Lord every day? How about I continue my habit of going to a grow group? Because, man, that's just getting the word, all right? So those things start building character in me. I am just a nice person. That's a nice character, right? I'm actually like Jesus. Yeah, all right? And when you do that, guess what happens? You'll start reaping a destiny. You start doing that, you'll reap a destiny. Listen, God had a plan for my life. God had a destiny for my life, okay? But it took this whole process. It takes this whole process, all right? So, and you know, you can apply that to prayer. You start sowing prayer. You start sowing prayer. You're talking to the Lord. You're praying about things. You're going to reap answers. But listen, none of that happens overnight. Listen, nothing happens like that overnight. And you know, sometimes we hear stories. Todd White, how many of you know who Todd White is? You watch him, you watch his YouTube, and listen, and you go, wow, that is just amazing. Have you watched this guy with the dreadlocks that just walks up to people, has words of knowledge, praise, and all these things happen? You're like, oh my gosh, it's so amazing. Just, oh wow, wow, wow. But listen to this. It wasn't amazing. Mm-mm. And I actually know Todd. There was a process to that. The running, that wasn't fun running every day. And you know, it wasn't, for my life, it's not fun. It wasn't fun. Some days it's still not fun to get, especially, oh my gosh, when my kids were little babies, and they would get up at 6 a.m. What? And then they turn teenagers and they get up at noon, okay? But they would get up, yeah. So they would get up at 6 a.m., and it wasn't fun to get up 30 minutes ahead so I could spend time with the Lord, that I could start developing, all right? And it was worth it. Listen, you start doing this, it'll change your life. It's worth it. Amen. Okay, this leads me to point number two. You're taking notes, all of you that are smarter than a fifth grader. Ready? Number two, we pursue the harvest. That means we go after the harvest. We go after the harvest. So turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. This is the Apostle Paul. And read above, but I'm just going to jump in and read this. This is Paul, 1 Corinthians 3, 6. Paul said, I planted the seed. Apollos watered the seed. All right? But God made it grow. All right, now, you can't grow the word. I can't grow the word, but God can. I put it in there. I plant the seed, but God can grow the seed, all right? I can't make prayer answers, but then that would be delightful, all right? But God can, all righty? So guess what? You do your part, God will do his part, but you have to do your part. So God will do his part, and you do your part, and God will have a harvest for you, all righty? So turn over to Mark chapter 4. So the harvest is God's responsibility, though I have a part. I have a lot of part, all right? But the harvest is his responsibility, Mark chapter 4. And do you know that Jesus talked about farming a lot? He talked about planting seeds. He talked about harvest, all right? He talked about this a lot because they were coming from an agricultural society, so they got it, all righty? So here we are, Mark 4, verse 26, ready? Then Jesus said to this whole crowd, this is what the kingdom of God is like. How many of you would like to know what the kingdom of God is like? I would. Well, then keep reading. Here we go. This is what the kingdom of God is like. It's as though someone scattered seed on the ground, then sleeps and wakes night and day. The seed sprouts and grows, but the farmer doesn't know how it happens, okay? So you and I are going to put the word of God into our life daily, okay? More than 30 seconds. You know that little app that just gives you one scripture? I just challenge you to read a couple more, okay? You're going to put them in there daily. And listen, I put it in there daily, and I don't know how it's going to work out, but God said he'll cause a harvest, all right? And when I pray, I don't exactly know how God's doing all of this, but my responsibility is to put it in there, and God will have a harvest, right? So, and basically, you do your thing, God will do his thing. But guess what's first? You have to do the first thing, and then God will do his thing, all right? And your life will be so much better. Amen. All right. Have you ever had planted little seeds in a cup with a kid? Kids are cute. Oh, my gosh. I could tell you little grandchildren cute things, but I won't. But you got a cup with a little kid, and you poke it, and you put a couple of seeds in there, and they water it, this little kids, and they as soon as you do that, they're like, when is it happening? Right? And the next day they go, did it grow? Okay? And the next day. But it took time. And then all of a sudden you see the sprout coming up, right? All righty? So listen, guys, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up on the seed, right? Keep reading your word. Keep coming to church. Keep being involved and serving. Keep doing it. Don't give up because there's a seed. There's a seed. There's a seed when you do that, okay? And sometime we're planting the seed, and sometime we're watering the seed, but God will give the increase. But you have to let God give the increase because you put something in the ground, all righty? Amen. Praise God. And you know why you should come to church? Of course, I'm the pastor saying this, but please, it's still good. You know why you should come to church? Because we're going to plant seeds and water seeds. That's what we do on Sunday. We plant seeds and water seeds. And I'm believing every time we're here, we do this. And I'm believing for the increase. Amen. All right, let's keep reading Mark chapter 4. Let's jump down to verse 28. The earth produces crops all by itself. First the stalk, then the head, then the full head of grain. Whenever the crop is ready, the farmer goes out, cuts the grain because it's harvest time. Jesus continued, what's a good image of the kingdom of God? What parable can I use to explain it? Verse 31, consider the mustard seed. When scattered on the ground, the smallest of all seeds on the earth. But when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all vegetable plants. It grows much larger branches, such large branches that the birds in the sky are able to nest in the shade. All right. So, guys, we need to commit. Everybody say commit. You ask somebody if you're going to come over to your house for a party. Oh, I don't know. Well, maybe. No. We need to commit. But how about we commit to pursue God? Amen? Commit to pursue God, okay? So, amen. The seed, commit to put the seed in your life every day. Commit to read the word. Commit to come to church. Commit to do all those things. And you will have a harvest. Amen. All right, number three, because I'm looking at the clock, praise the Lord. This is our last one, number three. Write this down. We protect the harvest. We protect the harvest, all right? So farmers, all right, there's a storm coming. They protect the harvest. There's animals that are eating their crop. They go out and they protect their crop. They give Stephen a license to go shoot the deer. Amen, all right? They start seeing disease on their plants. They go out and protect their plants, all right? Maybe they spray it up. I don't know. Okay. They protect it when it's cold. How many of you have planted some things in the springtime, and you got these little plants coming up, and then because we live in the north, even though it's the south northeast, we live in the northeast, the weatherman says, hi, tonight it's going to be 25 degrees out there. So what do you do to protect your plants? You go running out with those milk jugs and stick them on top, right? Okay, so the farmer protects, okay? So God wants us to protect what we plant. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Okay, some days it's really fun doing that. All right, I'm going to, oh, Jesus, hallelujah. I love that clock back there. That was a present to me. I was like, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's all I want. All right. Let's go back to Galatians, and then we'll just wrap up here. All right, Galatians. Let me just toss this. I'm just going to shoot little missiles. So we're going to plant the word of God in our heart. And if you keep it there, you water it, and you keep doing this, it'll produce in your life. You will be looking gooder than gooder and sweeter as the days go by, you know. You start living and acting like the Lord Jesus. But while this is going on, and you're doing this, and you're walking this out in your life, right, you might get pruned. And God prunes us with the word. So the nicest thing is when I sit down in the morning and I'm reading something and the Lord says, D. I'm like, oh, yep, I didn't do that too well. Yep, oh yeah. And I just repent and I go, thank you, Lord, for pruning me with the word. We want to get pruned so we keep going fruit, all right? So can I tell you the pruning will be the most uncomfortable thing that goes on in your life? It does. But he loves you so much that he will prune your life, all righty? And so let me say this. God likes to prune us before we get to the next. So let's just suppose I'm just this really nasty, prideful person. Better yet, let me tell you this story, because then I won't look so bad. All right, so my dear friend, Pastor Tony, dear friend, he's a minister. He's since passed on, but he was a minister, and he got saved because there was a cute girl. Cute girls will help unsaved boys get saved. They're so, you should always have cute girls, right? Cute Christian girls, let me say that. So his cute is actually the pastor's daughter. The pastor's daughter. And he's hitting on her, and she's just like blowing him off. And finally she said, you want to talk to me, you got to come to church. So he gets gloriously saved. Okay, so he's saved on the inside, but the stuff on the outside ain't so saved, right? You're made new on here, but the rest of it is a transformation, and the word does it, all right? So this was like a couple of weeks into doing all this. So he's at church, and the guys at church say, hey, listen, after church we're going to play football. You want to come and join us? All right, so he used to play football in high school, and then I think maybe a year in college, and he's like, yeah, I'm coming. So they start the football game, and he starts going at it with this one guy that's playing against them, okay? Now, these are all Christian boys, because this is a church group, right? So he starts going out with this one guy, because he's got this attitude, you know, I am the best guy on the field. Pride, right? You know, and but what you didn't know is the guy that he's going to edit with, he plays in another college. He's a quarterback. He's got the same attitude. So these two are going at it, and they're saying thing, and it's not like good job, guy. Okay, well, this whole game is going on. So after the game is over, everybody, you know, and it was not pretty. Okay, it was just kind of ugly. So his friend who invited him to play the football game, they go out to lunch afterwards, and he says, "I have never seen such a display of flesh and pride. You are disgusting." And you know what that was? Now, so I like it when I open my Bible and Jesus does this. But God will give you people that love you. He was getting what? He's getting pruned, okay? All right, and he became a one, you know, he says, let me say this, sometimes God will prune you before you can get to your next thing. So he became a pastor, but there was some pruning, because you didn't want that up there, did you? I am God's gift to the world, your pastor. Pride, pride, pride. There was a pruning process. And so I just a thought, before you get to your next. All right, amen. That was so good. Pastor, do you do that with a smile? Okay, second one really quick. Things happen in God's timing. God's timing, all right? And, you know, sometimes this is going on before you can get to the right place and the right time God has. So sit there and go, oh, I just love being pruned. Hallelujah. Hurry up. Do it. Give me a haircut. Just go all over the place, all right? That should be our attitude, but it's not always, okay? Okay, Galatians. Let's wrap this up. Galatians 6, verse 9. Let's not get tired of doing good. So while we're doing good in the kingdom of God, while we're even putting the word of God, while we're showing kindness to that person who is just not so nice to us, while we're doing this, doing good, don't get tired. Don't get tired, okay? And just wait on God's timing too, all righty? Don't quit. Last one. Okay, so let's not get tired doing good because in time we will have a harvest if we don't quit, all right? We will have a harvest if we don't quit. Mom and dad, don't quit training your kid up, having the word of God in your house, living like Jesus. Don't quit because you quit. And listen, I know the world, the culture, the schools, I won't even go any farther than that, okay? They are pushing on you to quit because you're a Christian and they, you know, nobody else does that like this. Don't quit. Don't quit what you're doing. Dads, be the dad in the house. Be the lead in the house, you know, and be the example of the house, but don't quit. Because if you quit, man, it's not good, all right? So don't quit. So let's, just in review. So the soldier works for a cause and he's disciplined. And the athlete, he disciplines his mind and his body. And the farmer works hard and has patience, all right? So can I have the, what do you call it? The worship band. The worship band. What do you call them? Praise the Lord. Amen. So we're to work hard. We're to be like a farmer. And we're to work hard. And work hard for the kingdom of God. Work hard for the kingdom of God. So in 3 weeks, it's Easter. How about you just work and bring somebody here? How about you bring a whole family here? How about you work hard? How about you pray, God, who would you like me to bring to church? It's Easter. Easter's easy to bring people to, all right? So there's a work that we do, okay? There's a work that we do. That's an easy thing, all right? So as they're going to lead us in a song, and then I'm going to pray for you, and they'll lead us in a song. But, you know, as I told you the last 2 weeks, I said, this is not one of those, yippee, Pastor D, that was just so much fun to listen to. But you know what it is? It's challenging. It challenges us. It challenges us because God loves you, and he has such a great life for you. And sometimes we're just living here, and he wants you to live up here. So as you know, as we go and we sing this song, how about this is a time where we just check it out. Say, Lord, yep, I can live better. I know, yep, Lord. Or, you know, it's sort of like a resurrender and just look at things in your life, and you know, maybe you're just the grab and go, the Word of God. You know, that 30-second app. Say, Lord. Shoot, I can turn that TV off. I can turn off the gaming and stuff. And I'm just gonna resurrender this part of my life to you because I know that we're in a season where time is short and every life is valuable and precious. I overheard you talking when you were walking down the hall about your friend got born again. Time's short. It was time, all right? And you probably have people around you that don't know Jesus, right? And it's time short, so let's work for the kingdom of God. It's the most precious thing we have. Amen. So I'm going to have altar ministers come up, and I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for everyone in this place. I thank you, Father, that your word is challenging, and we've been challenged, and it's time to take the challenge, Father. And we just listen to your voice, and we just say, Lord, I just resurrender this to you. You know, Lord, we just let you show us those areas that we need to readjust. And Lord, our heart is to live for you. Our heart is to work hard for your kingdom. And yes, we'll have patience until you come and return. But as we sow seeds and we water seeds in people's life. And I thank you. I thank you just for speaking to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If you can, let's stand and we'll sing. just go in your heart. Amen. Praise God. Lord Jesus.
You reign above it all.
Yes, you do.
You reign above it all. Over the universe and over every heart, there is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. Let all of heaven and the earth erupt in song. Sing hallelujah to the everlasting one. There is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. You reign above it all. You reign above it all. Over the universe and over every heart, there is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. Let all of heaven and earth erupt in song. Sing hallelujah to the everlasting one. There is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all.
Praise God. Lord God. Amen. Praise God. Well, we have people up here that would love to pray with you, give you an encouraging word. So, but if you'd like to continue singing or just hanging out, we love you. And you guys have a great week. Amen.